Prior to the opening of Grady Hospital in the 1890s, how did Atlanta meet the needs of its residents requiring hospitalization or emergency care?
It's a good question. There was one hospital that I know of, St. Joseph's, before Grady, but the vast majority of the population did not have really adequate health care. Henry Grady dies in late 1889, the editor of the Atlanta Constitution, famous editor and proponent of the New South. And in his honor, after his death, two things are created. One is the Grady Monument on Marietta Street, still there. And the second is Grady Hospital, and it's designed to provide health care for Atlanta's poor residents, low-income and underserved families in need of health care.
The original building was built on Butler Street.
And it's still there. It's kind of interesting. It's sort of swallowed up in the larger Grady complex that has just mushroomed over the years, but you can still see it. It's a really wonderful building dating back to 1892.
The original building was designed to serve, as you said, the poor of Atlanta, black mm-hmm. and white?
That's right. It had facilities, I think about 100 beds at its inception and about 50 for black patients and 50 for white patients. Gradually, additions were made over the years, a new construction around the First World War, which really established a genuinely dual system of health care at Grady. There were separate wards, there were separate hospitals, separate clinics, separate nursing schools, separate operating rooms. And so older Atlantans, especially older black Atlantans, refer to the Grady's because there were really two parallel hospitals, not a single Grady hospital.
Is it fair to say then that as time went on, Grady Hospital became a little bit more segregated than it was when it was originally built?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I'm sure in its original inception, yes, it was a small building, but it was probably, no doubt healthcare was segregated at that time. There were other things that, you know, were part of a segregated healthcare system, most notably that black doctors had to leave their patients at the door. You know, they could not practice at Grady Hospital. So if you were black and you had an African-American physician, if you had to go to Grady, your doctor couldn't go into the door to kind of be with you. You were turned over to a white doctor within Grady. So that was one facet of segregated health care. African-American doctors couldn't be interns, couldn't do postgraduate training, couldn't join the state or county medical societies, so couldn't join the AMA, couldn't belong to the American Medical Association. So there are all sorts of discrepancies within healthcare during the era of segregation. By the end of the Second World War, there were a lot of African Americans whose incomes were high enough so that they couldn't be admitted into Grady. And there was increasing pressure to have some sort of facility to meet these folks' needs. And in 1952, across the street from Grady, the huge Spalding Pavilion was erected that basically provided health care for middle-class black Atlantans for the first time in some kind of facility. Even so, as late as 1963, only 360 of the 2,400 hospital beds in Atlanta were for African Americans. And it's really only with the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the advent of Medicare and the fact that hospitals had to comply and open up their facilities that hospitals, including Grady, became desegregated by around 1966.
Grady was a teaching hospital, or became that eventually, and linked up with Emory University, and then also Morehouse College, too.
That's right. And Grady's been notable as a teaching hospital. It's one of its real great contributions is the teaching component of Grady. And kind of interestingly, I think now, you know, there are numerous black physicians who both go through the training programs at Grady and who are on the faculty at Grady as well. Interestingly, at one point, the chief medical officer at Grady was Hamilton Holmes, who was one of the first two students to desegregate the University of Georgia in 1961 and then became the first black student at Emory Medical School in 1963 and was an orthopedic doctor and eventually became chief medical officer at Grady.
Grady Hospital, at its outset, was operated and funded by the city of Atlanta.
That's right. And
but now that's not the case.
That's right. Well, it's gone through different iterations over the years. In the 40s, the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority was established. So it was set up in conjunction with both the governments of Fulton and DeKalb County in the 1940s. In recent years, Grady experienced severe financial stress, and there was additional restructuring of Grady in the last 5 or 6, 7 years. It continues to do what it was supposed to do at its outset, you know, serve the poor of Atlanta, serve the underserved, Of course, it's well known for its trauma facility, its burn facility. There are countless Atlantans who are born and who have been treated at Grady Hospital.
One issue that survives, though, is that Grady Hospital serves far more than just Atlanta and DeKalb and Fulton counties. It serves the entire metro region, yet funding for that only comes from two counties.
Yeah, and it's all compounded by, you know, developments with Medicaid and Medicare. It serves a vast region, and yet you're right. You know, the funding only comes from Fulton and DeKalb.
Cliff Kuhn, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.